This is the SB Live Washington Podcast, your weekly conversation about high school sports and the people who play them across the Evergreen State. I'm Andy Bueller, reporter with SB Live and your host. And later on, I'm joined by Seattle Prep's do-it-all standout junior Braden Smith, who gives us a peek behind the curtain into one of the most impressive stretches of any team this football season here in Washington, pulling off back-to-back upsets of O'Day and Eastside Catholic. But first, I'm joined by the rest of our SB Live Washington team. First, the prodigal son of Tacoma, senior reporter, he's your pal and mine, the inimitable Todd Millis. I'm also joined by SB Live's preeminent basketball mind, the host of the ISO podcast with Dan Dickow. And if you've been paying attention to the college basketball NCAA tournament, a prominent analyst bringing you some hot takes and great insight these last couple weeks on CBS and Westwood One. He's Dan Dickow. Gentlemen, how are we doing this week?
Things are good. This NCAA tournament is fantastic, to quote a promo from the old NBA days, I think in the 80s. It's been some really good games and performances.
Yeah, Dan, is Gonzaga going to finish this off, yes or no?
Yes, 100%. They look tremendous. I mean, you shoot 60% from the field against a really good defensive Creighton team who holds their opponents to 40% from the field on the year. They were flirting with 65, 66% from the field with like 6 minutes left. They do pose a difficult challenge in USC, but you know what? This is a historic season that's kind of in the works.
Yeah, I saw some stat like Gonzaga's the lowest they've shot from the field this year is like 48% or something crazy. I might have had that right, but really cool, obviously, for you, Dan, to be a part of this run in a different way, as you were a part of building the foundation of this program. So I gotta say, Dan, I've been watching you on CBS Sports and your tournament coverage, and for those who didn't see, you had a moment of revenge against a cutout of Wally Zerbiak where you knocked him down. He dropped 43 on your Huskies years ago, but why'd you have to do that to Sonics legend Wally Zerbiak?
Yeah, you know, that was sophomore year, so that was NCAA tournament 1999. UW, we were the favorite due to our seeding against Miami of Ohio. And I wasn't playing, I was hurt, but obviously was still traveled with the team to New Orleans and the Superdome, and Wally Zerbiak just went off on us. He had 43 points. We ended up losing. It was just kind of a spur of the moment thing. I saw Wally's cutout sitting next to me on the set in the bleachers, and something sparked in me. I had to get a little bit of a revenge.
Have you heard from him?
I have not. I should see him today because the CBS Sports Network, shows I'm in the crew that's 5 to 7 PM and he's in the crew that is 9 to 11 p.m. So our paths should cross tonight. And so hopefully I get a chance to say hello and catch up for a minute.
Well, there's a lot going on here in the state of Washington as the football season wears on. The baseball season in some parts is starting, the spring sports season, I should say. That's season number two. And across the state in all sports, the number of officials is down about 38%. It's no different in, the Puget Sound and the King County area, and basketball officials are really anticipating a shortage of, up to 40% of a drop from years past. And for those who know, the dwindling number of officials, the trend, that's concerning. Not particularly for varsity teams, although maybe, but for JV, for C team. And so the PNBOA is a lot of folks are taking leaves of absence this season because of COVID concerns. And given the staggered starts and finishes of leagues, it might help, but they're expecting for a pretty significant drop. So I start this show as our first topic by saying that, hey, they're looking to drum up interest in an April training class. And if you're, 16 or older, that's how old you have to be to referee basketball or get trained to do so. You have to pay annual dues. You got to buy your own, equipment, but it's a good way to make money. I reffed soccer in high school, middle school and high school. It was a great experience. Did you guys ever officiate at any point in your lives?
Yeah, that was what I did in high school to earn a little bit of money. I would work some basketball camps in the summer, and then I would officiate or do the score clock for games on Saturdays and Sundays in Vancouver. I agree. It's a great way to kind of stay involved. Their officials are absolutely needed. You know, officials get a bad rap, and sometimes it's rightfully so, but at the same time, people must understand, put yourself in their shoes where you have to make quick decisions and hear the brunt of comments from people. It's not an easy job, but it's a necessary job. And if you complain too much, put yourself in their shoes and go ahead and help youth sports out by officiating when you can.
Well, I think what you just said, Dan, is I know people are going to pin this on the pandemic, but I think what you just said is the primary cause of this, the very abrupt decline over the last few years. I think it's the abuse that officials take at the high school level, C team, JV, varsity. You're right, Andy. It's a good way to kind of get started, kind of get your feet wet, make some money, you know, do something three or four times a week. You can make up to $60 a game. And then if you're good enough, you can climb the ladder pretty quickly, I think, in doing some college stuff, community college, you know, Northwest stuff. And then if you're really good, and I have a former Tribune photographer, teammate of mine, Drew Perrine, whose son is one of those guys that has been invited to these elite officiating camps in basketball, started at a very early age, and is on the brink of doing something pretty big, either in D1 or the NBA. So I've seen somebody grow from being a 16, 17 year old kid at Bellarmine Prep, or I think it was Peninsula or one of those schools. And now he's in his early 20s and really on the cusp of something pretty special. So there is a huge need for it and an opportunity for it. If you have some thick skin, you know, like you said, April's a good time to try and maybe head to one of these trainings, sessions and see what you got.
Yeah, we'll have a story up on the site, scorebooklive.com/Washington, on the SB Life Sports app as well. But you can go to pnboa.org/recruit to fill out a form and get started there. Last topic before we jump to Braden Smith. Dylan Groves is a 12-year-old in the Spokane area, and he's the younger brother of Tanner and Jacob Groves, who rose to the national spotlight in Eastern Washington's inspiring tournament performance in the first round. Head coach Shante Legans was an episode, our guest on the ISO with you, Dan, and you rewound that episode a couple weeks ago, and he just took the job at University of Portland quickly after that tournament performance. But this offering of the Groves younger brother, obviously, you know, it's a little bit symbolic, but are we about to see Portland really grow its recruiting presence in the state of Washington with Legans now on the bluff?
Yeah, I think that's one thing when you look at Shante and what he did at Eastern Washington is he would offer kids early and he would offer a lot of kids, you know, because he wanted to be kind of a known presence, a known commodity on the recruiting trail. You're seeing that start up right away at the University of Portland. I mean, I think he's already offered, quite a few kids from the state of Washington, younger kids, you know, some sophomores and juniors. You know, this offer, and I don't know the kid, I just find it a little odd because seventh grade, you can't project anything out. I'm a huge believer that unless you're a true top-notch player like Apollo Banchero, you can't project anything until you're, you know, about sophomore year-ish when you're 16 and a half years old or so and you're really starting to physically mature. You know, I think a lot of this has to do with the relationship that he has with the family and the two brothers who've had a tremendous amount of success playing for Shante at Eastern. I know both of them are in the transfer portal. It'll be interesting to see if the two older brothers follow him to Portland. And this is kind of that kind of commentary that you're seeing a lot. Players commit to coaches, not schools. I'm not a huge fan of kids transferring, even though I did it back when I was in college. I think it, you know, with the leniency and granting of waivers, it's allowing kids the easy way out. But when a coach that you committed to and have played for moves to a better opportunity, I think you should have the ability to transfer without having to sit out a year.
It'll certainly be a interesting transition to follow. Interesting offseason for University of Portland as they undergo a pretty big change in a big market in Portland in a conference that does get some national shine with the Gonzagas, the St. Mary's, the BYUs, and maybe some ample opportunity on the bluff for high schoolers in this state. So we are going to cut to our interview with Seattle Prep's Braden Smith. Had a lot of fun with that one. Braden's a really great athlete and a nice kid, two sports standout at Prep, whose football team is on a great run, and I expect their basketball team to be doing the same thing, challenging the top dogs in that Metro League. So, Dan, I wish you the best in your studio work remaining here in the NCAA tournament. And so without further ado, we will be back after this break.
Go Zags.
Amen, brother. Amen.
I want to take a moment to tell you about something really exciting for high school sports fans across the country. SB Live Sports has launched a free iPhone and Android app featuring the latest high school sports news here in Washington and across the country. With the SB Live Sports app, it's now even easier to follow your favorite team and tailor your experience to your interests. With real-time scores and news alerts, as well as video highlights, podcasts, photo galleries, rankings, game coverage, and much more, the app delivers on the content you want in one convenient place. The SB Live Sports app features exclusive content from on-the-ground reporters across the country, and it's the number one source for Washington high school sports fans, with coverage from reporters Todd Millis, myself, Andy Bueller, as well as SB Live's preeminent basketball mind and recruiting expert Dan Dickow. The SB Live Sports app is available at no charge in the Apple App Store and Google Play Store. Download it today. All right, he's a quarterback, he's a slot receiver, he's a return specialist, defensive back, combo guard, could probably host this podcast if he wanted to. Excited to welcome on Braden Smith, junior at Seattle Prep. Braden, thanks for being here.
Yes, sir, thank you for having me.
You have a lot to be happy about in these last couple weeks. You guys are rolling. You're on a heck of a stretch. You know, 2 weeks ago, you beat O'Day for the first time in 41 years. I mean, literally since 1980. Then you turn around and beat Eastside Catholic, a team that hadn't been scored on all year, hadn't lost a game in like a year and a half. What's been the secret to the sauce?
Yes, sir. You know, like a lot of our theme this year has been being about us and focusing on us as a team and not really worrying about the outside noise. So we know the work we put in. We know what we do to prepare, and then we just don't worry about anything else and just go play for each other.
You guys, you know, that's a good approach. And you're when you're on the field, you're focused on, you know, what's going on in between the lines. But, you know, 41 years, like, I got to imagine, like, did you have any idea that it had been that long?
I had no clue. I thought it was maybe like 10 years or so or something like that. But 40, like, that's a long time.
Have you heard from any, like, Prep alums or anything like that, of people just kind of coming out to support you guys?
Yes, sir. Like a few of the guys from a few years ago reached out to me and just congratulated me and the team. So that was pretty cool.
Right on. And then this last weekend, you guys play Eastside. How were you able to keep that momentum going? And what was that week of practice like leading up to that game?
Yes, sir. Coming off the O'Day week, we were really happy and, you know, glad to do, but we knew that there was more to be accomplished. We know how far we can go. Like, we know how good we can be. So we just wanted to go out there and prove it on Friday night.
Well, you guys are sitting here at 3-1. And, you know, there a lot of leagues across the state don't really have anything to play for except for pride. I mean, there's a league championship, you know, it depending on the league. But for you guys, you have, you know, a little four-team playoff that actually will maybe give you something to play for. But I guess in a year without like a state championship or playoffs in a traditional way statewide, what's been the motivator for you guys this season? What's been the reason for that fire?
I think that goes to the seniors on this team. They've just really been supporting us and motivating us throughout the year. Even though like they won't be able to play for that state run themselves, they just want to go out with a bang. And so we're playing for them, and just giving it our all.
So what makes this these last couple weeks even more interesting is you usually play, you know, a little slot receiver, a little defensive back, right?
Occasionally, rarely.
Sometimes return specialist too. So then your quarterback, Jake Sipe, who's going to, I believe, Colorado School of the Mines, good quarterback for several years, All-Metro last year. He goes down with some sort of Achilles injury that kept him out a couple weeks, and you slide over under center. I know you came in as a freshman quarterback, and you kind of moved out wide when, you know, Jake, who's a year older than you, had already kind of established himself. But did you grow up playing every position? Did you grow up playing quarterback? And did, I guess, if so, did playing quarterback help kind of bolster your knowledge of all those other positions?
Yeah, so my very first year of football, I played running back. But that following year and the next 7 years, I played quarterback. So, yeah, I'm pretty comfortable with that position. And for sure, just the quarterback, like, being the leader of the offense, and you have to know where everybody is and what everybody's doing. So, yes, that did help me just make the transition easier for myself and for the offense.
Well, it's just amazing. Like, you guys go down, you know, you lose your star quarterback, and then you just slide over and you have two of the biggest wins in program history. Had you been taking reps as a backup? Did you, you know, have a pretty good understanding of the reads and the playbook and all that?
Yes, sir. I usually practice with Jake most of the time. And then, you know, like Wednesday or Thursday, I go out there and my reps in at wide receiver, but I'm with Jake most of the time and the quarterback coach, Coach Rogers. So I'm with them most of the week, you know, like scouting with Jake and, you know, like just doing what Jake does. So yeah, I'm pretty caught up most of the time.
One of the things I hear from quarterbacks who are also have played, you know, defensive back and understand, you know, defensive reads is just how much it helps seeing the game from the other perspective and understanding, you know, and really focusing on the game from a different vantage point. Do you feel like with, you know, some of the different positions you played, especially, you know, starting at quarterback and playing the bulk of your childhood at quarterback, how has that helped you in as you kind of approach the game in different positions?
I think it just helps, you know, having an idea of what the defense would like to do or offense, vice versa. You know, just playing those positions, like knowing what I would like to do in those certain situations. And that just kind of helps me like get an advantage a little bit on either side of the ball and just help us make plays.
So are these your only two games starting as a varsity quarterback?
Yes, sir.
And Jake's coming back this week?
Yes, sir.
So you're 2-0 as a varsity starting quarterback with wins over O'Day and Eastside.
Yes, sir.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
Yeah. Team effort all the way around, though, for sure.
I know. And you, but I guess at the end of the day, you know, you might not play quarterback at the next level, but that's something that you can always hang your hat on.
Sure.
One of the things that always stands out when I talk to Coach Aaron Maul and even Coach Mike Kelly, basketball coach at Seattle Prep, is outside of the way they talk about the players, and especially this year in these two groups on those both of those teams, is different from most coaches that I talk to on a regular basis. It's I mean, you should seriously hear. I don't know if they brag on you guys to your face, but, you know, outside, I mean, the way that they talk about, you know, how you guys show up to work every day, and the way that, you know, you guys are self-starters, the way that you guys play together, and then match that with, you know, in the skill positions and on this football team specifically, some of the most talented individual players that the program has seen in some time. Do you see that? And what's that like? How are you guys able to gel like that?
I mean, that means a lot coming from Coach Maul. He doesn't really tell us that to our faces, but you know, I just think like the group of guys we have this year, and like we had the same guys last year that we're just older now. I just think like us, we all play for each other. We all like are brothers. So when we get out there, it's just a lot easier. Like we have a lot of chemistry. Like I said, a lot of us are returning. So when we go out there, like we know where each other's gonna be. We know what each other likes. And I think that just helps like make the skill position just go up that much higher.
Well, you guys start the season on a really short notice, and I know you were able to do some things in the off season, you know, meeting up and working out, but you know, when the state of Washington got the go ahead from the governor to start the season, you guys had what, 2 weeks of practice leading up, and that's not very much time. You get no off season with pads, you get no fall camp, no summer camp, no spring ball last year. And then you guys open the season and you drop one to Ballard. Did you learn anything from that game that you guys were able to, you know, immediately apply?
I just think we learned that we can't take any week for granted. You know, this season's so short. We have to make each and every moment as good as we could. And just moving on from that week, like, because we know what team we could be, like I said before. So we just had to execute. Week one, we didn't really execute, and so we just knew we can't mess up anymore. We got to take advantage of the opportunity, and we've done that so far.
Lining up against a team like Eastside Catholic, which you've done for a couple years now, you know, is it lost on you that there's, you know, potential future NFL talent on that D line and in different parts of that roster?
No, not at all. You can feel them throughout the game, but just in those moments, like I said, we're worried about us, not opponent X and who's on opponent X. So we just go out there and we try to get it done as a group. And, you know, credit to the opposing players. There are some good players out there, especially on Eastside Catholic. But like I said, we just try and go out and compete for ourselves.
You're an all-metro guard for Preps basketball team too. And, you know, I think your hoops team has as much potential to shake things up as your football team does. The only difference is I don't know if the basketball team is going to be surprising anyone if you do that. I was doing some research on you before this interview, and there's a sixth grade mixtape out there on you on YouTube. A sixth grade mixtape. There's mixtapes for sixth graders. That was completely news to me. Do you remember being that age and having people with highlight cameras following you around?
Yes, sir. Back then, that was like the beginning of the hype of like younger kids and middle schoolers and stuff like that. So it was pretty fun having that kind of like media attention growing up. And, you know, just going out there and playing and having fun, really.
Yeah, I should say, and, you know, for the listener, you can go and look it up because it's one of the first results when you look up your name on YouTube. But you were cooking dudes. Like, the first play of the video I watched, you made some guy fall on his tail. So was that, at least in basketball, because you've really risen to become one of, you know, the top players in the Seattle area and the state. From a young age, you obviously had put it together and had a lot of natural ability, but how have you been able to take that next step as you, you know, play in one of the toughest leagues in the Northwest?
I think just working on my craft as well as gaining information and knowledge from like former players who have played in Metro League and, you know, who have been successful, and as well as just the coaching staff around me is pretty experienced and they know a lot. So I think the big step for me was just like my IQ and just learning the game more as well as like perfecting my craft.
Which former players, former Metro League guys you leaned on?
A big one is Aaron Nettles. He also went to Seattle Prep. He's at Seattle U. Colin Welp, a few like other former Prep players.
Yeah. Are they pretty good about, you know, reaching a hand back to the younger generations?
For sure. You know, they invite me to workouts when possible, and whenever I need something from them, I'll hit them up and they'll give me some info, which is pretty good.
When did you start working out with older guys?
Working out with older guys. I mean, I've played with older guys like since I was really young. My older brother, I call him my brother, Chevy Walker. You know, he always had me around. So just playing with older guys, I've always been a part of it, and most definitely helps, you know, gain that experience, and also makes you tougher. Being a smaller guy, playing with those older guys, you get bumped around a little bit, so build some toughness as well.
So I covered you guys in the state tournament your sophomore year, state basketball tournament, and you know, you had one of the top teams in the state coming into that tournament was Mount Spokane, and you guys handed it to them and beat them in the first round. And then you gave O'Day hell in the second round, took him to overtime, and really made your, you know, made some noise. One of the things that stood out to me, because you had a really strong couple games, was, you know, your vision, your leadership. You know, you were taking it to people whenever you wanted to, and you really had like an air about you, like, you know, I like to be the guy. And do you elevate your game against good players when you get in those atmospheres, like a state tournament or even like a Metro League, when any other night you could be playing against Apollo or Nolan Hickman?
Yes, sir, most definitely. I think my game rises as the competition rises. I've always lived for those big game moments growing up, and like just watching other high school games, like with key matchups and big name guys playing. So, yeah, I would say just I enjoy those moments, and I always want to be in those moments as much as possible.
Where did that come from?
I think just how I was raised, you know, my dad and my mom just always giving me confidence. And, you know, I just think that's part of who I am. I want to be the top dog. I want to play against the top dogs. And that's it. Yeah.
How tall are you? 6 feet?
Yeah, 6 foot.
5'11"?
6 foot.
Okay, listen, because you're listed at 5'11", at least on the roster that I saw. And I'm going back and I'm looking at the interview. We did a stand-up interview in front of the camera at the state tournament last year. And I'm like 5'11 and 3/4". And when I hit that in high school, and I'm sitting there going, all right, we're almost there. And I never got there. And there's a lot of dudes that are out here lying about their height, especially that are in that 5'10", 5'11 range. But you look like you had a couple inches on me in that video. So are you bona fide 6 foot? Is it the hair or what?
I'll get with the hair.
Yeah? See, come on. The hair's got to get – you got to get you to like 6'2".
Probably. It's pretty long right now.
Were you always, you know, one of the smaller guys out there?
Growing up, I was smaller, but like for my grade, I was pretty well off. But as I got older, guys started hitting growth spurts, and so that's like where my speed came in as a factor and just helped me stay with those guys right now as well.
Your recruitment, I'm interested about that, because, you know, here you are, you're a junior. It's obviously, you know, you've been dealt a tough hand these last 12 months with the pandemic, with, you know, schools not being able to come out and look at you, you not being able to go out and look at schools in the same way. Where are you at with your recruitment, both in football and basketball?
Both basketball and football. It's pretty slow right now. Like you said, with COVID, just haven't had a lot of opportunities to just showcase my talents or be able to go out there and, you know, visit schools like you said. But hopefully I'd make as much of the opportunities that I'm getting right now. And hopefully this summer it will be pretty big.
Yeah. Do you have an idea of what sport you want to play?
Not at the moment, not really. Probably leaning towards basketball, but I would not mind playing either.
Really? Does it, like, if you got a big offer in one sport and not the other, would that, you know, kind of tip your hand?
I mean, it depends. I don't know. We'll see in the future, I guess.
Would you play both?
Playing both is pretty tough in college. I'm sure I could do it, but we'll see.
Yeah. No, it is. Yeah, I was talking to someone about, so like JT hasn't committed yet, and these schools that are going after him are trying to sweeten the deal by offering him basketball scholarships, which I guess is more kind of, you know, what's the word? More of a kind of honorary than anything, because it, you know, it's, he'll be playing on a football scholarship, but I got to think that transition especially at the D1 level, going from football shape into basketball shape, has got to be pretty tough. Do you experience that at the high school level, turning the pace so quick?
For sure. Especially, like you said, football to basketball is really tough. Those first 2 weeks coming off at the end of the football season, going into basketball season, I got to work a little harder than the other guys that just play basketball, because it's completely different, like football shape compared to basketball shape. And so, yeah, it takes a little bit out of you to get into basketball shape.
All right. So you guys, Thursday, you play Bishop Blanchette, 7 p.m. And then You've got eyes on that four-team Metro playoff. What can we expect from you guys the rest of the season?
You can expect us to play hard, play for each other, and, you know, continue to make waves throughout the state and just be us.
Yeah, right on, man. Well, hey, if it sounds like you're selling you guys short for what you guys have done these last couple weeks. So I'll link it in the show notes, but a couple of really, really strong performances out of Seattle Prep. No small part thanks to Braden Smith. Braden, thank you for joining us on the podcast, man. Let's do it again sometime.
For sure. Thank you for having me.
You bet. All right, we're going to end this podcast, this episode this week, with a new-ish segment, past and present. A little dip into the past and a little slice of the present in Washington High School basketball. The rules are pretty simple, Todd. It's one player from who was a former Washington High School athlete and one current player who in Washington at the high school level who impressed you over the last week. Do you want to go first?
I can do that. Let's stick in the golf realm. It's a beat I'm very familiar with. Joel Dahmen from Clarkson High School picked up his first PGA Tour victory in the Dominican Republic on Sunday. It was the opposite field event to the WGC match play in Austin. Won't matter much to Joel. He's a PGA Tour winner. Closed with a 200 par 70 to win by one shot. Anybody who knows Joel Dahmen is a talk to him. He's one of these everyday personalities you can go have a beer with. He's been known to, if he misses cuts at PGA Tour events, he'll put out an invitation on Twitter. Hey, let's go play a pot game somewhere at a golf course nearby. So he's not afraid to, you know, he's not one of those guys that puts space between he and the public. He embraces that sort of stuff. So that was a popular win on the PGA Tour. I know he's very widely liked, well-liked, and widely respected on the tour. So good for old bucket hats. My present, you know, it's easy for me to say Sam Huard. We were there Saturday. Andy, we've talked about it at great length, setting the all-time passing mark with a just a monster performance against Kentwood. But I'm gonna go with my guy at SP Live Washington, Freddie Recco. Congratulations to Freddie. He's our girls basketball analyst, won a girls state basketball championship at Central Valley, was the coach for the Holt Twins, who are now, deep into the NCAA tournament at Stanford. Freddie was hired at the new school in Spokane. Isn't it Ridgeline High School?
Ridgeline, yeah.
Ridgeline High School, but he's going to be coaching boys basketball. I know that's going to be a little bit different after being in the girls game and studying the girls game and being well-versed in the girls game in Washington for so long. But congratulations to Freddie on the new opportunity to go coach the boys team at a new school and kind of be the one that gets that program going.
No kidding. Shout out Freddie Recco. A great opportunity and exciting to be the first coach to kind of, you know, help a program carve its own path in an area that has a history of rich basketball tradition. So I like both of those picks, both out of the box a little bit, Todd. I appreciate you bringing it. For me, mine are pretty cut and dry. For past, my pick is one Haley Van Lith. She's had a really nice freshman season for Louisville. And they play in the Elite Eight against top-seeded Stanford Tuesday, today as we record this, at 6 p.m. Regardless of the results of that game, has had a great freshman year on the national stage. She's quickly becoming one of the most recognizable faces, names, and follows in not just college basketball, but women's basketball. And the company Open Doors, which helps athletes build personal brands, told the media company Axios this week that she has an estimated earning potential of $965,000 based on her platform. So just she's worth, according to this company, just under $1 million. It's what her platform would theoretically be worth if the NCAA did not have rules against athletes doing so and monetizing their name, image, and likeness. What that speaks to is just how she's how she really grew that platform on the 1A basketball stage in Washington. And that really speaks to, you know, what high school basketball can do, you know, what playing for your hometown can do. And obviously, you know, she went on in high school and made a name for herself in with Team USA, and, you know, certainly built a national profile and a great follow on, you know, Instagram and such. So Haley Van Lith, she hasn't been gone from this the high school stage in this state for very long, but she's still making her name and presence felt quickly at the national stage. So that's my past. My present is a freshman at O'Day. Jason Brown ran for 5 touchdowns in a win over Blanchette last weekend, tying Miles Gaskin's single-game rushing touchdown record in that program. And if you know anything about O'Day, there's a lot of great players that have come through that program. Miles Gaskin is just one of them. And for a freshman to tie a single-game record, especially in a season where O'Day had taken its lumps early, lost to Eastside Catholic, lost to Seattle Prep. I know they got quarterback Milton Hopkins back for this game. But that's one way to introduce yourself as a first-year student and a first-year athlete. So I expect his name to be heard for years to come.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting next few weeks with O'Day back at full strength, with Eastside having, you know, probably asking itself a few questions after losing to Seattle Prep. And then obviously Seattle Prep's playing great football. And it's really good stuff up there in the Metro League right now as we close the final week of the regular season. And then they obviously have the Metro League playoffs, the semifinals, and the championship game at historic Memorial Stadium.
Yeah, you and I will be there, and we'll be continuing to bring coverage of this high school football season across the state. Scorebooklive.com/Washington is your home for my work, for your work, for Dan's work, at least some of it. And the SB Live Sports app is going to be your home for high school news, information, and coverage wall-to-wall across this country. And the state of Washington is proving as we've launched this this app, and the talented developers behind the scenes at Scorebook Live have really done a nice job, as we've talked in weeks past. But it's really impressive to me how much Washington, how many Washington stories make it to the top of that national homepage on our site.
Andy, when you bring up the potential earnings of Haley Van Lith, what are we doing, man? We gotta get this podcast going, man. We got a lot of ground to make up on Haley Van Lith.
No, we do. So, in that vein, wherever you get your podcast, subscribe, SB Live Washington. Give us a rating, a review. Say some really nice things about Todd and Dan, and tell us what you like, what you don't like, so we can best help serve you, the listener. So that's this week's podcast. Todd, it's been a pleasure. We will be back next week. This podcast is brought to you by SB Live Washington and SB Live Sports, your national hub for high school sports news and information. Subscribe for free wherever you get podcasts. If you do it on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a rating and review to help us best serve you, the listener. You can find our website at scorebooklive.com/Washington. There you'll see news, features, highlights, podcasts, and everything in the world of high school sports across this state. As always, a big shout out to our sponsor, Washington Federal. Thanks to Dan Dickow and Todd Millis for bringing the heat every week. This song you're hearing is by the band Woodrow. It's called So Far Away. It's written by James Schroeder, Carl Johnson, and my dad, Matt Bueller. I'm Andy Bueller. We'll be back next week.